reviews. I don't know. It doesn't appeal to me. It's probably buggier than Scott, like Bethesda games when they launch. And
oh, that's not good.
Yeah, exactly. So I have no interest in playing this.
Oh man,
for consoles and PC, except for the Switch.
Because... you know, you bring up a good question. That is Bethesda. I know that's not what we're talking about, but like, how do they get away with this stuff? Like, how buggy most of their stuff is when it hits.
It's crazy. You know, it's because they're held to a different standard because their games are so wide open.
Mm.
You know, you can go into a tavern and steal cans of beans off the shelves.
Damn, that's exciting.
Yeah, well, I mean, it just...
like, I could totally do without stuff like that if it meant the game was going to be better.
Yeah.
Like, really. I mean, like, you know, Doom had, like, nothing. I can't remember any problems that had. I mean, that's
well, it wasn't
like
a real Bethesda game. But it wasn't... Bethesda developed and everything.
You're right. It was actually developed by people who gave a shit.
So, guys, welcome to the GamerCast. I don't know what episode we're on. We're living in a dystopia.
Hi.
Yeah, here we are. So,
I'm coming to you live from my Fallout shelter. I'm afraid to open the door because I hear zombies scratching at it.
Ooh. Hey, hey. That sounds actually preferable to what we're actually in right now. So
I'm just gonna stare. It's very frightening.
We have a packed show this week, guys, especially if you like toys and comic books.
Yeah.
Yay.
I'm gonna be hitting that cough button a lot.
Yay.
Nintendo, I'll kick us off here with some news that I wrote up this week.
Yes, this is very exciting.
Yay. So Nintendo
held some of the functions of the Toy Cons, which I think is a dumb name.
Yeah, I agree.
Further Labo. So I don't even know how to describe this.
Careful how you say that.
Yeah, we have a post up where Nintendo put out a presser and they basically detail a bunch of the functions of the different Toy-Con kits. So the variety, it goes through the variety kit, which is the one with the piano and stuff. It goes through what the fishing rod does, what the piano does, motorbike, house, and the RC car. And it tells what the robot kit does. Basically, you build a robot kit and then you turn into a big robot in the game. Yay.
In the game.
Yeah, yeah.
Not in real life.
You're wearing cardboard, so you might feel like a robot, but you're not actually a robot. Something that's also comes with both kits, and presumably any kits they're going to have in the future, is called Toy-Con Garage. And this looks like it's kind of an open-ended way for kids to learn about technology and how this cardboard magic actually works. So that's neat, I guess, if you're into this. Like, I'm still not really into this, so.
Yeah. I've heard people who are very into this, I should say Red, on Twitter and stuff. People, like, apparently like this. I just don't think it's dumb.
I don't know where I would keep a cardboard piano and then a cardboard fishing rod and a cardboard little house.
Yeah.
I have enough crap already.
Okay. Yeah,
I don't need that in my dwelling. So, yeah, that's coming in April. The Toy Cons.
Oh, it's coming up pretty soon.
Yeah, the Nintendo Labo. So we're not gonna have a. I don't think we're gonna have a first hand review of this because I can't think of anyone who's gonna be buying it.
Unless Benj buys it, I don't know if Benj is gonna get it. For people listening, we have like a terrible relationship with Nintendo, so we don't get anything for review right from Nintendo. It just doesn't happen. So
they send us press releases, which is about as we can expect.
Yes, that's it. You know, they're okay with us giving them free PR, but the reviews are not going to happen.
No.
Yeah.
So
bunch of jerks.
Moving on. A little bit, we have the Nintendo download, which I actually intended to write up this week, and then I just couldn't get to it, and then by the time I had a chance, it was done. So, I'm sorry, Jason.
Oh, did I do it? don't even remember.
You did it.
Okay.
You did it. Yep.
All right. Well, good. I'm happy.
Do you want me to go through this?
Sure. A lot of thinking. Because I can't friggin' remember what it was about anyway. So go ahead.
No problem. So the big addition this week to the Nintendo Switch eShop is Bayonetta and Bayonetta 2.
Right.
So if you buy them digitally, they have a deal where Bayonetta 2 is $50 and Bayonetta 1 is $30. If you buy Bayonetta 1, you get a $30 or a $20 discount on Bayonetta 2 to bring the price down to $30. If you buy Bayonetta 2, you get a $20 discount to bring Bayonetta 1 down to $10. Basically, it's only going to cost you $60 to get both if you want to do that. That's also how much Bayonetta 2 physical copy costs with the download code for Bayonetta 1, which is what I did. We'll talk. I'm playing this, so I guess we'll talk about this more a little bit later. But, you know, Bayonetta is a great action game. Lots of punching and kicking and shooting and slicing and dicing
and hair.
And hair. A hair clothing and then black. So it's a good one. Also on the Switch is Fei.
Ooh, this looked really good.
It's a new type of platform adventure where the story is up to you to discover without hand-holding, told wordlessly through the discoveries you make during gameplay. Run, climb, and glide your way through dark Nordic forest and explore its living, breathing ecosystem filled with secrets and mystical creatures. That came out on the 16th. So there you go.
Was there a Neo Geo game?
Oh, there was. I was just getting to it. Fatal Fury 3 for the NES. Aqua Kitty UDX. Escape Trick 35. Joe Devers Lone Wolf. Johnny Turbo's Arcade. Gate of Doom. Johnny Turbo. I'm sorry.
Wait a minute. Johnny Turbo came out this week?
Yep. Does that mean something to you?
I have no idea.
This Lone Wolf game is pretty fun. I'll throw that out there.
Oh.
But it's kind of like a. These used to be like an old school choose your own adventure book. And they turned it into a video game. It's pretty fun.
Okay.
You know what game we haven't had any of in a long time? Text Adventures.
Yeah.
Let's do it. Let's develop a text adventure.
I don't know if that's coming back anytime soon.
this
looks good. Lone Wolf.
Yeah, actually does. Going by the screen,
so it's a lot of reading. So there's like a throwback to the books, and then you'll read. And then for the action stuff, it's a turn-based combat.
Okay.
And then you'll do like these little moves. You'll do like a fireball from Ryu. You can do that, and he'll do a special move. And then it's like timed. It's like a quick time event as well. So it's a little bit more action-packed than just a regular. Turn base. So I don't know. Cool. I've been playing it. It's pretty fun. It's a pretty long game too for just being a indie game too. So
cool. Yeah. That's really awesome to hear. Glad to hear that.
Yeah.
Layers of Fear Legacy, which is just a re-release of that Layers of Fear game. It was free on Games with Gold a while ago. I never actually played it. It's a horror game.
We reviewed it.
Oh, did we?
Yeah. I don't really remember anything about it. I didn't write it, so.
Nice. And there's some other stuff, not really too noteworthy, and in my opinion. Zeo Drifter is apparently a good one. I saw some buzz about on Twitter this week, but that's about it.
You know, Zeo Drifter I keep looking at like I'm going to buy it, and then I just never do. So, I don't know.
You know, I take it back. There's this game coming out on the 20th, which is Tuesday. And it's called Puzzle Puppers. Stretch out cute doggos to their food. Wow.
Oh, this is clearly the game of the month.
This is a game for me. This game actually, it's $5. I kind of want to get this. I'm looking at the screenshots. You got to stretch out the dogs to get to their food.
It's a very strange game.
Those poor dogs.
I feel bad for the dogs.
They look like corgis. This is the best. Wow, what a world we live in. Okay, well, that's it for the download. Puzzle Puppers.
What a way to end.
Yeah, right.
I mean, I'm probably gonna actually, as soon as we're done recording, gonna go pick up Puzzle Puppers. So
there you go. Expect a detailed review.
I mean,
yeah. 1,000 pages, 1,000 words.
Yeah, you probably could.
So we also got some news this week for that old school PlayStation plans are going to be fans of.
Yes.
Yep. Yep. That's it. That was the response I was looking for.
I'm not a fan. I'm not. Yeah, I skipped this whole thing. I played like the first one and it was like, eh. And then I just skipped everything else and I never even finished the first one on the PS1. Oh, so
I like Spyro. So I guess I'll talk about this.
You would, Eric.
Yeah.
I like dragons. So here's the thing. I saw somebody on Twitter when this was initially reported, and it was on the Kotaku story or something, and somebody was like, well, this is a rumor, this isn't confirmed. And what annoys me about that is games journalism is the only section of journalism that I can discern where you don't actually trust reporters to do their job. You would think that if a reporter is saying this is happening, you know, any other sect of journalism, you're like, oh, well, Ian Rappaport said that there's this trade happening, so we can trust him. It's probably going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
But if somebody from, you know, Kotaku is like, oh, well, this game's confirmed, you know, no, we can't believe it until the studio confirms it. That annoys me.
Either Did that really them. Happen?
Yeah, I saw. Well, it was only one person.
Oh.
But you see a lot. That's what the whole Gamergate thing is based upon. It's based on people not having thinking that journalism, games journalism, has ethics in it.
Yeah, I got to be honest. I was totally out of the Gamergate is a company. Gamergate. I was totally out of the Gamergate thing when it happened, and I don't know how, but I like missed the entire thing. So I have very little concept of what it was about.
We can talk about that off the air. It's really not important.
Okay. But
my only issue is this. Listen, this person is a journalist. And you know, they're a journalist. There might be about video games, but they're a journalist most of the time. And if they are saying that this is happening, you can trust it's going to happen, unless it's clearly labeled, oh, we have a rumor, we don't really trust it. This wasn't that. This was, you know, we think this is coming, and we have reason to think that.
Right.
You know, when someone leaks something from the Trump administration, someone says, oh, well, we can't believe this until we get official confirmation. It's like, well, no one's actually going to officially confirm this because they'd get fired.
So, right.
That was my little diatribe. Trust journalists because they're not trying to lie to you. Fake news isn't real.
Some of them are.
No, I mean, yeah, but then they're not real.
Exactly. You know, I think you got to take the source into account when you read something. Like, you know, if I read something on Kotaku, and I'm not a Kotaku reader, but if I did, I'd probably believe it because it's, you know, I mean, that's a pretty big outlet, and they're, you know, they tend to be on target about a lot of stuff.
And I mean, still, who's reporting it? So, like, Jason Schreier is—he's like the news editor of Kotaku. He's pretty trustworthy. You know, if he was reporting it, I'm not sure who reported this, but if he was reporting it, I'm probably going to believe it.
Yeah.
So.
Well, there you go.
I don't know. Anyway, Spyro Trilogy is apparently being remastered for PlayStation 4, and it's going to come out.
Very exciting.
If it's real. So. I mean. Yeah, I know.
You know, sorry. When Crash Bandicoot came out last year, immediately we heard the rumors that Spyro was going to get a re-release and there was going to be this whole big remastered version of that. And for some reason, the same thing about Crash Bandicoot karting, and I have no idea why that was even rumored. But anyway, it at that time, I remember people taking that and being like, oh my God, Spyro is going to be re-released and it's going to be and there was zero facts behind it. It was just, I'm just remembering this now. And it was like, it was purely rumor. It was mainly fans, I think, starting that.
Yeah.
And yet somehow here we are, Spyro Trilogy is actually getting a re-release. I wonder if that came from the fact that so many people were excited about that rumor that popped up. I mean, I don't, I don't know if these are complete. No, that's okay. I was just going to say, I don't know if these are complete overhauls like Crash, or if this is just like a bump. You know, who knows? But
that's what I was going to say. If these are complete overhauls like Crash, there's no way that this is because of that.
No.
Because they would be in production way before. But if it's just a texture overhaul and everything else is the same and they just update the controls a little bit and the textures, then.
Right.
You know.
Right. Like HDify it, you know.
Yeah. So.
That'll be fun.
I like a little purple dragon, boys.
Don't say that.
Yeah, probably not good.
Not a good look.
That's probably not good.
Yeah, I wouldn't go around bragging about that.
So I have to ask you guys. I have to ask you guys because I never heard of these. Apparently, Vicarious Visions produced a Crash Bandicoot Spyro game and a Spyro Crash Bandicoot game for the Game Boy Advance. What the hell is that?
I never played them. But yeah, it was like Crash Bandicoot Purple and Spyro Orange. It was some stupid. I never played it, but it basically put them both in like each other's world.
Oh. And
it was, yeah.
Oh. Huh.
Yep.
Okay. Thanks.
And that's that.
Yeah, I don't really know much more. I know that it was silly. You know, now a team up game, that would have been something.
Yeah. Wait, they did that.
Oh.
Skylanders.
Yeah. Okay.
All right. I know how much you Spyro fans love Skylanders.
So if you put, can you use like the old Skylanders and the new Skylanders games? Like, can you use, so you could have Spyro and Crash playing together?
Yep.
Wow. What a world.
Every figure from Skylanders is forward compatible. So you can use even first gen figures with the newest games. Not that there will be any more, but with the newest games, it's the other way that you can't do. So you couldn't use like Crash. You couldn't use on the first Skylander.
Gotcha. Well, that's cool.
Yeah, it's okay.
It's fine.
It's all right. I have some insanely leveled up Skylanders figures, but.
I don't know what that means.
Whatever. It's very impressive.
Oh.
Well, it's actually not.
I'll talk to you, sir. No.
All it means is I use the same figures for every Crash Bandicoot game that comes, every Skylanders game.
Well, there you go.
So, there you go.
So. Oh, got the yawn in. Don't worry.
There we go.
It's okay. It was Skylanders talk. You're excused.
Evil Within 2 has a first person shooter update, a first person mode update.
Do you like this?
Yeah, I don't care. I don't play this.
Yeah. Okay. I don't play them either.
I don't either. So. Okay. Good talk.
That's it. Yeah. It looks cool. I mean, you know, it looks neat.
So.
Evil Within 2 is not really action, is it? It's just like, you know, more suspense, terror, horror, survival thing, right?
I believe so. I'm not really sure, though, because I haven't played it.
So, I mean, I think ammo is supposed to be scarce in there. So, I don't know. This would be more like a first person, like, wandering. And avoiding bad guys.
A first person suspense simulator?
Yeah.
Good. We got some Kingdom Hearts news.
Woo!
Okay.
Does anybody care about this other than me? A little bit? Good. Well, Monsters, Inc. is coming to the Kingdom Hearts world, and Sora and Goofy and Donald get monster forms. So.
Goofy. Yeah.
Goofy's the best.
Yeah.
It's very exciting.
From, you know, from your responses, I don't know if that's actually what you're feeling.
It's okay.
Yes. No.
I played the first one.
The first Kingdom Hearts?
Yeah.
How is it?
It's okay.
Yeah, it's pretty good. The second Kingdom Hearts is really bad.
Oh.
So.
What about the 800 offshoots?
We could have a whole episode where we just talk about Kingdom Hearts offshoots. They're not really great. Well, Chain of Memories, the one that was on the Game Boy Advance originally, was really good.
That's neat.
So, yeah, Kingdom Hearts 3. I mean, I might play it, but I'm really not feeling the people wanting Marvel Worlds in there. If there's a Marvel World, I'm going to flip my lid, tell you what. Or
I don't think anybody wants it. Yeah.
People want it. People want it.
Oh, they do? Because I haven't heard anybody saying that they want it.
I've seen the internet comments clamoring, saying that if there isn't a lightsaber keyblade, it's a huge missed opportunity.
Oh, boy.
So, I'll be very annoyed if that happens. They're not Disney proper.
People love all of Disney.
And then people say, well, Pirates of the Caribbean was in too. And it's like, yeah, that came from a ride from Disney World. Do you not know where the property spawned from?
Right.
You dingus.
Wow.
Although, they had to choose one of those rides to really take off, I wish it was the Haunted Mansion. Because the Haunted Mansion's much better ride than Pirates of the Caribbean.
Oh, man. Haunted Mansion's awesome.
I love that ride.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh. Welcome to the DisneyCast.
They should have an Indiana Jones world. The Kingdom of the Crystal Keyblade.
Yes. I like it.
Just base it on the worst Indiana Jones movie.
That'd be great.
Yes.
I don't have anything to say to this.
It's Mutt. You play as Mutt Sora. It's great.
Yes.
So, the last thing that I don't actually care about, I think this is kind of silly, is 40 Winks, a new Nintendo 64 game on Kickstarter.
Yeah, come on!
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, who cares?
But it says move over Mario.
Oh.
Yeah, that's annoying to me.
They're throwing shade, man.
Yeah, they are.
That's annoying. Mario's the best. This dumb brother and sister are not the best.
But it's rough and tumble. Come on. It certainly looks like an N64 game.
You saying that Nintendo Official Magazine really said move over Mario?
That's what it says.
I don't know about that. I don't know about that at all.
Are you saying this is fake news?
Well, I don't know enough about it. I'm just looking at this post here on the page. I don't know if Nintendo Official Magazine actually said that. I don't even think there is one. There's not an official magazine.
Look at those graphics, man.
Oh, God.
It's like Nintendo 64 graphics. What am I supposed to say?
You can race dragons. You can strap on a rocket. More.
Well, actually, the racing dragons thing is kind of cool.
Ah, there you go. Okay.
Yeah, but it's on the Nintendo 64, so how good is it going to be?
Not that good.
Those games have not aged well.
Well, some of them have. I mean, it depends. But this is more like the polygonal, you know, mid-90s stuff that you are totally correct. It did not age well. So, I don't know. I mean, this is probably not the best choice, but they're trying.
I mean, it's a cool idea. I just wish it would be, like, it would almost be neater if they released it digitally, not just on the Nintendo 64, which I don't actually know that they're not doing. So
I don't know that either. I do know that there's a Dreamcast version.
Ooh.
If they hit the right stretch goal, there will be a boxed Dreamcast version.
That's pretty cool.
Complete with jewel case.
Ooh.
Hell yeah. Jewel cases.
I still have my Dreamcast.
Yeah, me too. It's not hooked up. I have it.
No, yeah, it's not hooked up.
I used to have everything hooked up, like all these classic consoles that I never played. I had them all hooked up to my TV.
Wow.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, it was okay, but I never used them, so. Yeah. Didn't last.
No, I want to hook up my Dreamcast to play Power Stone again.
It's a good game.
Love that game.
It's a really good game.
Woo! Well, that's it for regular news.
Oh.
Jason.
Okay. All right, so... All right. You know, I'm kind of out of coffee, so I'm going to probably cough a lot, and that means I'm going to be hitting the button a lot, so get ready for that. Anyway, what's that?
What does that mean? You're going to be hitting the button.
You know, the mute button.
Oh, okay.
Mute.
Like this.
Oh, I gotcha. Understood. Yeah.
Okay. So, I don't know why I just cough. All right. We have a packed week in the comic rack. It is loaded up. We've got stuff from Toy Fair. We've got a lot of comic stuff for some reason was like worth talking about this week. So, there's a lot of that. There's a lot of toys. And so we're just going to dig right in. Toy Fair is going on right now. So that fans know it started yesterday. I am going today when I get done with this recording, so we'll hopefully have some cool pictures this week of some neat stuff. Yeah, there is the Hasbro event was yesterday. I never get to go because Saturdays are not a good day for me. But they revealed a ton of cool Marvel Legends stuff. And a bunch of neat Star Wars stuff. So if you're so inclined, you can certainly find pictures of all of that stuff online. We don't have it because I didn't get to go to the event. So there's a Walgreens thing, which will be completing the exclusive Fantastic Four figures for Walgreens. I'm very excited about that because I happen to like those figures a lot. There's a Wolverine on a motorcycle that looks really cool. A bunch of neat stuff. So. You can go check that out. It's floating around out there. And if we do get some shots from Hasbro, we will definitely run them. So either way. So that's that. I should mention, while we're talking about Hasbro, the Jabba the Hutt sail barge. So Hasbro is starting a crowdfunding type platform. And that might sound crazy because it's Hasbro. Like, do they really need that? But it's still a little crazy sounding, but it becomes much more understandable when you hear what the sail barge actually is, because it's 4 feet long. And it's enormous. It's got a lot of interior space. It fits like the full Jabba the Hutt figure. It's 3¾-inch scale, so it's not like 6-inch scale. That would be 8 feet long. But it's really, really neat looking. And Hasbro made a bunch of large size, closer to correct ratios for their 3.75-inch figures, vehicles a couple of years ago. They made a Millennium Falcon, which is really, really awesome. They made a cool AT-AT, a couple of Clone Wars things, I think, as well. But this is this probably falls right into that range, but it's even bigger. I mean, this thing is enormous. So I do not personally collect the 3¾-inch figures, but this has kind of got my attention. The thing that doesn't have my attention is the price tag, because this is going to be a friggin' fortune. Again, it's on their crowdfunding site that they're going to be launching, and I think it's launching with this. So they have to get orders. I think they have to get at least 5,000 orders to put it into production, something like that.
Whoa.
Right? It's something like that. And when you hear the amount, you're going to start to question whether or not they're going to get those 5,000 orders, because the actual price tag on Jabba's sail barge is $500. Yeah. So even for an enormous Tatooine Star Wars fan like me, and I love everything set on Tatooine from those movies.
Even the prequels?
The original movies.
It's so itchy and coarse and gets at everything.
I'm amending that. I love everything from the original movies set on Tatooine.
Okay. Fair enough.
That was a... It's so itchy. Anyway, so $500 is a hell of a lot of money to spend on something like this. You know, it's not like it's a video game console or something. I mean, even then you'd be like, this is like... I mean, who knows if they're going to get the money for this, but it looks awesome. There's an unpainted prototype, pictures floating around out there. It looks fantastic. You know, I don't know if you got the money to burn, there's that. As for what we're actually talking about this week, we'll dig right in. We're going to kick off with some comic books and we'll talk DC's Metal. Metal is raging right now. It's still got a ways to go. I think probably through the end of the year. I'm like issue 4 right now, I think 5. So I think it's 12 issues. It's a good series. If you know, on this show, I actually didn't have anything really that great to say about the prequel issues, which was the Forge and stuff like that. I just thought they were kind of boring. But Metal is really, really, really picked up, and it's good stuff now. So if you're looking to get into it, now's as good a time as any. It will also be leading. Well, actually, it's led right now into DC's New Age of Heroes, quote unquote. Which launched a couple of new comic book series, and I've heard really good reviews about all of them. So you might want to check those out. Just this week, Sideways came out, which is from that New Age of Heroes, and I heard that's a really good book. So, but it is leading into a whole new series of threats and bad guys and all kinds of stuff for Justice League. The event is called No Justice. It starts this June, and it's going to be 4 issues long. So this is not like a mega event, but what it is going to do is lead to some really interesting teams of heroes and villains. So apparently Brainiac is the lead in for this, the Superman villain Brainiac. And he's going to assemble these squads of heroes and villains to fight some sort of new threat, which I assume comes from the Dark Multiverse, which is this new area of the DC universe that spun out of Metal. It's got all new bad guys and stuff like that. And that's where the evil Batman come from. So I assume this has something to do with that. Maybe not. But the teams are really interesting. Batman's squad is actually probably the least interesting because he already works with Lobo quite a bit. He's also got Lex Luthor on his team. He's got Deathstroke, and he's got Beast Boy from Titans. So that's probably the least interesting. Superman's squad has Martian Manhunter. Okay. Starfire. Okay. Starro the Conqueror, who we haven't seen in like God knows how long, and Sinestro, which is like insane. But then that rolls into Wonder Woman's squad, which also has Etrigan and Dr. Fate. So, I mean, and Zatanna. So I automatically like that team because Dr. Fate is on. And Flash's squad has Harley Quinn, Robin, Cyborg, and the Atom. So
best one.
It's really interesting. Why?
It looks cool. It's got
Flash on it.
It does look cool. I like the red color.
Yeah.
I don't know. I kind of like Wonder Woman squad because it's got Dr. Fate, but
yeah, they all look really cool.
Yeah. But anyway, that will be spinning out this June, and from what I'm hearing, there's going to be like a whole family of Justice League titles that this will launch. So you're not going to have just Justice League; you'll have different leagues. I assume that probably means like a revamp of Justice League Dark, a revamp of Titans. You know, JLA, that stuff. So I'm sure it's not as big of a change as some people might be assuming it is. But anyway, that's probably what's going to launch out of this. So watch for that in June. It's kind of a big deal. Speaking of big deals, the Incredible Hulk is back, which I think you had to kind of know that was going to happen. And I mean Bruce Banner Hulk, was supposedly dead, but guess what? He's not. So he returns in Avengers No Surrender as the, I guess, the big twist in that series, which I haven't been reading this series, but from what I hear, it really needed a big twist because it's apparently not that great. So this is
shocker.
Yeah. So this is probably a very good thing for that. So I mean, I know, like, I'm instantly interested in picking up the issue that Hulk returns in. So I guess that's the point. Check that out. And yeah, I guess I don't know what this means for Totally Awesome Hulk, but I mean, he's kind of a fun character, but I mean, he, I don't think really caught on with anybody. So see what happens there. In other Marvel news, we've got Amazing Spider-Man number 800, which is hitting very soon, I believe. Dan Slott, this is his penultimate issue. Slott's been writing Amazing Spider-Man, I think, for about 10 years at this point. But his last issue will be 801. 800 launches in May. Okay, so that's going to have the final battle, quote-unquote, with Red Goblin, who I haven't been paying attention to this at all, so I have no idea who Red Goblin is. But if you do, this is the last. I have no clue. This is the last issue where you will see him until he gets resurrected or comes back somehow. So,
yeah, right.
And you know it's going to happen. Shifting over to Valiant, we have some Valiant Comics previews up this week. Quantum and Woody, Ninjak versus the Valiant Universe. Ninjak versus the Valiant Universe, I've heard some pretty good stuff about. I really haven't heard anything about Quantum and Woody, but it's generally a pretty funny book. So those are coming out this week. We have previews up, so you can check them out, see if they're to your liking. Let's talk a little Toy Fair. So again, Toy Fair going on right now, and DC Collectibles is most definitely there unveiling some cool new stuff. We have picks up of their Doomsday Clock figures. Doomsday Clock is, of course, the other big DC event that is running all year long. It pretty successfully, from what I've seen, is merging the Watchmen into the standard DC multiverse, not the DC universe. The DC multiverse. So that does mean that they're bleeding over into the DC universe proper, but it's not like Watchmen is, you know, part of actual DCU canon right now. So it's not like the actual DC universe with Superman and stuff like that has had the events of Watchmen take place in it. It's more like a multiverse thing. But the figures look really cool. They're 7 inches tall, which means they won't fit in with DC Icons, which is on the way out anyway, but this is more like the what you'd expect from DC Collectibles. They're really neat looking. We've got picks up. They're going to be sold in two packs, and they should be hitting sometime this year. So if you are so inclined, these are all Watchmen characters. There are no DC superheroes, quote unquote, in this line, at least not so far. So you could check that out. There's also, I should mention, two new Watchmen characters, Mime and Marionette, both thought up by Gary Frank, and both look like they fit in perfectly with Watchmen. So check that out. Also from DC Collectibles at Toy Fair is a Joker bust. It's, I think, a life-size Joker bust, and it is from Rick Baker, who I am sure you know if you are a movie fan, because this guy has been around forever doing special effects. Apparently, Baker did this about a year ago, has not talked about it, and he kind of chatted about it on Twitter briefly once it was unveiled by DC. And it's pretty creepy take on the Joker. He looks more like a movie monster than anything else, which is pretty much what you'd expect from Rick Baker. So he's really neat looking, stands in at 22.5 inches tall. There will only be 200 of these made. And there's a reason for that as well, because this piece is going to cost you a cool grand. Yeah. So if you're a big Joker fan, I guess mark your calendar for October, because that's when this hits. You can pre-order it now from a bunch of different outlets online. Also, from Toy Fair, we've got some Mezco news. John Wick is getting the 112 collective treatment from Mezco and looks pretty good. I got to say, the sculpt is nice on Keanu Reeves' face. It looks like him. So you can have a tiny Keanu Reeves. It's your choice whether you want to make him sad or not. But I know this isn't their first foray into movies. Of course, we had a review up of the Universal Monsters Frankenstein that Rick wrote. We talked about that figure on this cast. They're also doing some monster movie stuff, modern monster movie stuff like Michael Myers. And then they've even got Ash from Evil Dead 2, and they've got the Ghostbusters on the way still. Yes, they're still on the way. So John Wick is, however, the first action movie, I think, character that they have introduced, which is really, really cool. I'm excited about that. I'm hoping they go back. I mentioned this in the article. I'm really hoping they go back and explore some classic action movies with Schwarzenegger and Stallone and Van Damme and all of them.
What a Rocky figure.
Really neat. You know, NECA makes some really good Rocky figures.
Really?
Really good ones.
I'm gonna look into that.
Yeah. I don't think they have like the, you know, like what you'd expect from 112, like the cloth trunks and all of that probably, but I think they're just plastic, but they're really cool looking. So if you, yeah. I think there's a really good Apollo Creed and Drago too, part of that line. Also from Mezco. Oh, no release date yet on John Wick, by the way. Also from Mezco, they have unveiled the second part in their Batman action figure trilogy. It is the modern Batman figure. I believe it's called Sovereign Knight. Yes, Sovereign Knight, and he looks absolutely phenomenal. It definitely calls up the look from the modern comics. So, you know, he doesn't have the trunks. It looks more like armor, his uniform, instead of like, you know, just a classic superhero like spandexy kind of costume. So it's way more the modern take on Batman, which is perfect. That's I think what you'd want from this figure. So looks really cool. It's going to have a lot of cool accessories: Sonic Disruptor, a grappling gun, a drone, Kryptonite knuckle dusters, which I think is really neat. yeah. So it looks really cool. No release date on this yet. We will have more pictures of this this figure definitely this week, because I think he's on display at Toy Fair. And looks really good. They have not unveiled part 3 yet. So we don't really know what that is. It could be an older Bruce Wayne with maybe Batman Beyond kind of a thing. Who knows? We'll see. But that's part 2. So you can go check out a very cool promo picture of that right now on BG. Also, from Toy Fair, we have DST, Diamond Select Toys, announcing their Sonic the Hedgehog license, which they have signed.
Gotta go fast.
They're pumped.
I know.
Gotta go fast.
This has been quite a few weeks for Eric. There was a comic book announced last week and a board game announced the week before that. So
yeah,
oh my God, Eric. <Board game>?
Yes.
How fast are you going to go, Eric?
Oh, man, you don't even want to know.
Well, I do know. That's why I asked.
I want Sonic and the Flash to race. But I want it to be close. I want Flash to take it easy.
Yeah, well, you'd have to. Okay, so there's gonna be a lot of stuff coming out of this this deal. Probably the biggest is Sonic the Hedgehog Minimates, which are very cool little Lego-ish stylized figures, way more poseable than Legos, but and a little bigger too. Sounds cool. There's going to be a gallery PVC diorama. There will be some Vinimates, which are basically bigger versions of Minimates that are more like statues. So this will start hitting this holiday season, and it's being offered to stores right now. So, you know, it will definitely hit by the holidays, probably by the end of the year. So there's going to be a lot of Sonic stuff out there. If you're a Sonic
fan.
That's
not even... Who cares?
Wow.
I mean, I love Sonic. But why...
Doesn't sound like it.
No.
Isn't that a good game in like 5 years?
Wait a minute.
Well, Sonic Mania doesn't count.
Why?
Because it was a fan game.
What?
Yeah.
You're a fan game.
I love Sonic. I'm pretty sure
Sonic Mania was a game.
No, it was, but it was originally made by fans.
Yeah, but it doesn't matter. I mean, eventually Sega picked it up and sold it, and that's it.
No, but I mean, Sega can't make a good Sonic game on their own.
Oh. Right? Yeah, well, Sonic Forces was pretty crummy, I guess. So
that's what I heard, yeah. I didn't... never got around to playing it.
I'm sorry, Eric.
It makes me really sad. I grew up with Sonic.
Well, you could play the board game.
I probably play the board game.
I'm sure you will. Have you played that Mega Man board game, by the way?
No, I didn't even know that existed.
Yes. A buddy of mine bought it basically just for the mini.
That's pretty cool. How is it? How's the game?
I have no idea, but I've heard it's not good.
Oh.
So.
Oh, well then. Let me run right out and not buy it.
But you can get... But it includes miniatures of all the original, I think all the original, Mega Man robots and Mega Man, so...
Ooh.
Yeah.
That's pretty neat.
If you like those miniatures.
Which yep. I don't.
Do you guys know that they made a Centipede game?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, for the Atari. I played it for a while. It was pretty fun.
I almost picked it up at Barnes & Noble the other day, but then I decided not to.
Barnes & Noble booksellers?
Yeah.
Oh.
They sold games.
They still have those near you? I all of mine closed. So, there's one here.
Yeah, I don't think they have any of those around here either.
Yeah.
No, it will close too, and it sucks because I like going in there and just picking around and looking at
books. I do too.
It sucks.
Mine turned into a Target. So.
Oh.
Well, that's not bad. You can still go in and poke around. It's not as good, I admit.
And it's like a small Target. So it's, they have like a quarter of the stuff that you'd normally get at Target.
It's hogwash.
It is hogwash. They don't even really carry video games. They have like 6 video games.
Does your Target have the whole Chip and Joanna Gaines section in the Home Goods?
Oh my God. I don't know. It sounds terrible though. So, okay, that's enough Target. Let's get back to that. Because that's not news. We have Call of Duty figures coming from McFarlane Toys. Notice I didn't say action figures because McFarlane Toys really doesn't make action. They're more like little mini statues that you can sort of like semi pose. So there will be two Call of Duty characters in the first wave that you probably know. The first one is Ghost. And the second one is Soap. So those are going to hit, I believe it's this fall. They look really nice. If you're a big Call of Duty fan, if you like Modern Warfare, you're probably going to want to take a look at these. So we have pictures up on the website. We will have more photos again this coming week, so you can check that out. Also, we have, let's see, is there any more pre-Toy Fair stuff? No, we can dig right back into the comic books again. Okay, cool. So, Mighty Thor, number 705. We have a preview of it up right now. It is more than likely Jane Foster's final issue as Thor. As all of the classic Marvel heroes, I'm sure you know, have been coming back. And Thor is going to be, I believe, the latest one. Seems like the only choice there would be for the original Thor to return if they're going to kill off the Jane Foster Thor. By the way, I am not spoiling anything. Marvel has called this the Death of Thor series or a story arc. They've pretty much, I mean, that's like everybody knows it. So This is going to be her last issue. If you have enjoyed Mighty Thor and maybe you want to pick this up, or if you want to see if the Odin son picks up Mjolnir again at the end of this issue, maybe you want to grab it. So I haven't read Thor in years, so I'm really not too up on it, but I've heard the Jane Foster Thor was pretty decent. So if you want to check out her swan song, this will be it. Go ahead.
How does a god die?
Well, she's not really a god.
Oh.
Basically, what happened was, I don't know if you know, Eric, but Odin enchanted Mjolnir long time ago so that only Thor would be able to lift it, but he would only be able to lift it as long as he was quote-unquote worthy.
Right.
So there was a storyline a while back, a couple of years ago, where Thor somehow became unworthy. I was not reading any of these books at that time, so I'm not exactly sure how. But somehow he became unworthy of Mjolnir, and he couldn't pick it up anymore, and he sort of lost a good deal of his powers along with it. He's still a god, but he lost like a good deal of his powers when he couldn't pick up the hammer anymore. So a new thunder god was chosen, and it was, at the time, no one knew who it actually was, but it was a woman, and she was Thor, effectively, as kind of strange as that is to actually...
She took up the mantle. She wasn't the individual, but she was the thunder god.
Yeah, right. But she was called Thor, so it wasn't right. It wasn't like Eric Masterson who became Thunderstrike or anything like that. This was like actual Thor. So, she went on for a while, and they kind of kept it a little bit secret as to who it was. And eventually, it was revealed that it was Jane Foster, one of the oldest Thor characters, supporting characters. And she was Thor's girlfriend for like a long time. I don't know what happened to the character, to tell you the truth, and why they stopped using her in the books. But I read Thor pretty regularly in the 90s, and I can't remember her being in there anywhere. But anyway, so she became Thor, but the thing was she had terminal cancer. And when she became Thor, when she lifted the hammer and became Thor, didn't affect her because she became a goddess. So I guess what the thing was, she couldn't stay Thor. She had to turn back into Jane Foster, and the Jane Foster persona was definitely dying. And I think what's going to happen here, if you look at the cover, she looks terrible. She doesn't look so good. And I think probably that's what's going to happen here. I don't think this is going to be like, it doesn't seem anyway like this is going to be some like big super heroic ending. It seems like she might just pass away. Which you know, anyway, you know, we'll see. But if you look at the cover, she does not look good. So we'll see what happens there. And again, if the Odin son picks up the hammer again, and I can't imagine Marvel doesn't go that way, because they've been kind of riding the ship with a lot of their classic characters, putting them back where the majority of fans would like them. So
would you be mad if Loki picked it up?
Loki, believe it or not, right now is Doctor Strange.
Huh.
As freaking bizarre as that is.
Where'd he go?
I think he just disappeared. I have no idea.
Interesting.
Well, that's really, that's silly. I don't understand that.
Now, Marvel did a lot of really weird things over the last couple of years.
Is it young Loki, or is it regular Loki? Is it chick Yoki?
No, it's regular Yoko.
Okay. Regular Yoko?
Yeah, regular Yoko. Okay. is somehow the Sorcerer Supreme of Earth. I have no friggin' idea how they figure that one out. But anyway, we'll see what happens there too, because I can't imagine they leave it that way, because it seems like, you know, a lot of this stuff is... And Iron Man is back, Tony Stark, and now Hulk is back.
Space anymore?
So, no, he's back. And I think they're wrapping up a lot of the storylines from the last couple of years, so we'll see what happens. But Mighty Thor is number 705. That's coming up. Venom is 3 years old.
Don't read this, please. Oh, you already said it.
I don't know why, remember?
But this makes me feel like really old. And I know I've been around for a lot of things, but this one just does.
Dude, you remember when Venom was new?
Yes.
Me too.
He was still awesome.
God.
He was great. He was great.
I remember for the longest time, people would refer to him as like a new villain. Ages. After even like 15 years or so, they'd be like, he's too new. You know, he's not really Spider-Man's nemesis. Like, dude, he's been around for a while.
And, like in 2000, everyone's like, oh my God. And like, you just missed like 10 years, 15 years of his story. So.
Exactly. Maybe you should go check it out because there's a lot of Venom books.
Yeah, right.
My favorite cover is a part of this, by the way. I should tell people. This is a variant cover Onslaught from Marvel, yet another one. So this is to celebrate Venom's 30th anniversary, and he's got 20, I don't know why not 30, but he's got 20 variant covers spread out across a bunch of Marvel books. So one of my favorite Venom covers of all time adorns the front of Avengers number 687, and that is Venom with the fake Spider-Man skull with the mask on it, which was from a classic confrontation between the two of them. It was good stuff. So that's on there. There's a bunch of really cool callbacks to classic Venom stories and stuff like that. But again, these are just variant covers, so Venom doesn't play into issues. So it's not like some sort of weird Venom massive event that takes place within 1 month. So
didn't that happen last year?
Yeah, it did.
Yeah.
Oh God. Oh Marvel. So this is May. These issues will hit. So if there's anything you want to get, check out a couple of them. They didn't release every cover, but you can see a few of them up on BG right now. So yeah, Venom, classic villain. 30 years. Good Lord.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, Hellboy and the BPRD, 1955. We have a review up this week. So I didn't write this. This was written by Megan. She loved this book. I'm personally not wild about the idea that that they keep going back to like the 50s and the 40s and stuff like that for classic Hellboy stories. It's okay, but it's kind of seems like Dark Horse and Mike Mignola are kind of obsessed with keeping this going. So they keep going back for older, you know, past eras, Hellboy stories from past eras. I'm just not crazy about it, but Megan thought this was terrific. She gave it a 95. And she said, a great story to read while wondering where little Billy is and why something smells like bacon. I have no idea what that means. I'm guessing it plays into the story. So just concentrate on the 95.
It's lit.
It's lit. Yes. She also said it was lit. So let's keep that in mind.
That means.
Listen, I don't know what the kids say these days.
Yeah, right.
You know, I'm going to go back and read my Venom story from 30 years ago. Attack on Titan is a popular anime, I understand. And this is another Megan story. And this one is a little more in depth than her Hellboy review. I get the feeling Megan is a big Attack on Titan fan. And this is not a review. It's more like, as she calls it, a discussion of chapter 102 of Attack on Titan. So if you are an Attack on Titan mega fan, or if you hate it, you might find something interesting to agree or virulently disagree with in this post. Go read it right now. Yes, Eric?
No, I didn't say anything.
Oh, I thought you did. Okay. I thought maybe you were going to weigh in on Attack on Titan.
I have no thoughts. I don't care.
Excellent.
About
fantastic. You have any thoughts on Superman?
No.
Okay.
No, don't know. I don't know what you're going to be talking about. So.
I'm talking about two big Superman one-shot issues that are going to wrap up Man of Steel's and not Man of Steel. God, oh man, going back to the 90s. it's gonna wrap up
the death of Superman.
You know that Doomsday character? He's pretty scary.
Yeah. Oh man! But did you mention that they're gonna bring back Cyborg in the Justice League thing?
Oh yeah, you know what? I kind of forgot to mention that in the Justice League. Thanks, Rick. In the Justice League, there's been rumored that Cyborg is going to go back to the Titans. That's been floating around. So I could totally see them assembling maybe like the classic Titans team coming out of No Justice. That's probably could be one of those Justice League squads that we were talking about. You know, maybe even like Justice League Titans. You know, I mean that would be kind of cool. Neat. Yeah. It's been the Teen Titans forever, so it might not be a bad idea. Update them a little bit. I was reading an issue of Justice League this week, and Cyborg's actually been named the leader. So
yeah, I heard of that too.
Yeah, it was a really weird issue. I can't really say I liked it. Batman was written really weird. But he kind of dropped out of the league. They kind of gave him some time off. I guess because he's been really weird. and he named...
Now been weird?
Yes, just now. They just noticed. They're like, you know what? He seems a little off. So he named Cyborg his replacement while he was... Now, Cyborg's already a Justice Leaguer, so... but like as their like tactical leader, so I mean that's definitely a new role for him. So anyway, so I mean I could see it. I could see a Cyborg led Titans team. That might be kind of cool.
Mm-hmm.
He's become a really big character in the new 52 era. So here though we're talking about Superman and specifically Brian Michael Bendis. Who has left Marvel. He's a writer, and he's been there for ages. And he left Marvel, and he is now moving over to DC, and he is going to take over both Superman books. So...
Oh, God.
That is correct.
Sorry.
Bendis
fan.
No, Bendis is polarizing. You're not alone. I'm not really that... energized by him one way or the other, but a lot of people are, so you are definitely not alone in that regard. But he will be taking over both Superman books after these special issues. So these special issues hit in May. The Superman special number one comes from Patrick Gleason and Peter J. Tomasi, who have been helming the Superman book. And this is going to wrap up their storyline. So it's got a couple of things in there, too, that kind of like tie up loose ends from their run. In the same way, Action Comics Special Number 1 also hits in May, and that's from Dan Jurgens. And that will wrap up his run. And tie up any loose ends over there at Action. So there aren't going to be number ones hitting after this. This is not that kind of a thing. The numbered runs will continue. There's no break. It's just that after these special issues, Bendis will be picking up the pen that these guys leave behind. So you know, I don't know what that means even with the same creative force driving both Superman books. I mean, it's. I don't know if this is going to become more of a twice monthly, like one story that just comes out twice monthly, and it's just got two different titles. I don't really know. But that's going to probably be. I think that's in June that Bendis's run starts. So we'll see what happens there. But watch for that. Anyway, if you're a big Superman fan, and you've been reading all along, you're going to want to have both of these one shots. May 2nd for Action Comics. I was about to say Man of Steel again. and May 16th for Superman. Also, I think they should bring back Man of Steel because that was a great title. Yeah, that was awesome. They also had Man of Tomorrow, I think, at one point. Superman, Man of Tomorrow. There were a lot of books back in the 90s, folks. If you weren't fans. Like Spider-Man had 100 of them. Wolverine had 100. Superman, Batman. I mean, there were so many titles. Anyway.
And then they wonder why they all went bankrupt.
Yeah, exactly. Right. Exactly. Water it friggin' down. Yeah. Okay, so speaking of Wolverine, he's back too. Over in the Marvel Universe. We don't really know how he's back since he was pretty much definitively dead. But he's got an Infinity Stone, formerly an Infinity Gem. And he's walking around out there. He's had some follow-up stories, which Marvel has been sort of calling after credit scenes, in a few of their books, spread out, you know, all of them linked together to make one story. But if you haven't really been following it, basically all you need to know is Wolverine is kind of like, he's up to something, in the Marvel universe, and he hasn't really wanted to let anybody know that he's back. So it's a bit of a mystery. And this is going to launch into the hunt for Wolverine. So this starts up this spring. It's four issues. Well, it's one issue and then it spins into four issues. So there's like kind of one kickoff. So this is kind of a neat idea. I'm reluctant to say that, but it is. The four issues each have a very different feel to them. They are not meant to be separate stories. It is all one story, one interlocking story. So this is, you know, when it says The Hunt for Wolverine, that's what it is. But you've got the first issue, which involves Daredevil and Misty Knight. And that is a noir slash detective story. Then you've got issue number two, which is called Mystery in Madripoor, which has Psylocke, Storm, Rogue, a couple of X-Men characters. I think Jubilee is in there. That's an action adventure. Then you've got Claws of a Killer, which features the Weapon X cast, and that is a horror story. And then you've got, Adamantium Agenda. Adamantium Agenda is the action one, and that's with Iron Man, Spider-Man, a couple other characters. Mystery in Madripoor is actually a dark romance, quote-unquote. So, I don't know.
Does that fit the character?
Just
at all?
No. No. No.
Wow. All right.
Okay. All right, so one doesn't make any sense. But
I am disgusted. How dare they do this to the majestic Wolverine?
The other three make sense. And also, Mystery in Madripoor. I don't get the dark romance thing at all. Okay. I agree with you. I do
what
not
do
get
mean?
It.
No, what
I don't
dark know. Romance.
I don't know. Maybe it's like 50 Shades of Grey. I don't know.
I was going to say, is it like 50 Shades of Grey?
But Madripoor, and you would have to be a decent sized Wolverine fan, past the current Marvel era to know this, features big into Wolverine, as he was, I believe, living there for a while, and it's a big part of his past. It's a fictional city, but it's in Asia. And so, I mean, I don't know. I guess it kind of fits in a way because he's moving around to maybe all these different locations where he used to be. I'm not really sure what the story is going to be on this, but these hit this spring. And then that will go into Infinity. And we know Infinity is Marvel's big summer event. And Wolverine plays a very big part in that, along with a couple other characters like Super Skrull that we haven't seen in ages. So that's, you know, that's where it's going. But
maybe he's really Puck. Maybe he's not Wolverine at all.
It's actually Puck with some knives taped on his hands.
Yep, no one even realizes it.
Fabulous. I'm happy to see the actual Wolverine. However they brought him back, who cares? I'm happy he's back because I'm not really an old man Logan fan. So I think he looks really weird on that X-Men team wearing like jeans and a duster. when everybody else is in like a superhero costume.
Yeah, I don't like that part.
It's bizarre.
Do you like X-23?
Yeah, I actually do. But I actually I kind of like her as her own character. I didn't want her to become Wolverine. I wanted her to just, you know, if they were going to get rid of Wolverine, I thought they should have just gotten rid of Wolverine. And you know, we didn't need a replacement Wolverine. But you know,
but you
anyway. Yeah, they tried like 100 things. They were like, oh, fans still want Wolverine. Okay, make X-23 Wolverine. Oh, no, wait. Yeah. Make Old Man Logan Wolverine. <It's>
like... make Iron Man Wolverine.
It's yeah, exactly. Make Puck Wolverine. I didn't know Puck was back, by the way. Did you know Alpha Flight is like a part of the Marvel Universe again?
Oh, jeez. Nice.
Yeah. Their team, this is so weird. Apparently they're teamed up with Captain Marvel and they like live in a space station. So odd.
Yeah, that makes complete sense.
That's Alpha Flight. Oh, they're wacky.
Who's on there? Who's on there? Because freaking the twins are dead, right?
Yep. Sasquatch.
Is that a real name for a superhero?
Yes.
Yeah.
I want a movie.
And instead of the Hulk, instead of turning into a Hulk, he turns to Sasquatch.
Yep.
Is that real? Are you serious?
Yes.
Yes, I'm dead serious.
I want to...
It's Canadian, Eric. They're Canadians.
That's incredible.
And he's polite. He's like a polite Sasquatch.
Yeah, he's very nice. He's really smart, too.
Yep.
He's like super smart. Wow. So
we're blowing Eric's mind right now.
Yeah, I know. He's like dead right now.
What?
The Squatch.
Oh, man.
Sasquatch and Puck and who's...
Is Vindicator on there?
You know, maybe.
He's got to be.
Yeah, I think Northstar.
But I thought they were dead.
No, I'm just thinking. I think Northstar is on there.
Interesting.
I didn't see much from it. I saw like a couple of panels from an issue.
Is his sister still dead?
Yeah, I think so.
Interesting.
It's I don't know. I mean,
yeah.
Alpha Flight was never that big of a thing anyway, but like,
yeah, Alpha Flight sucked.
Yeah.
Don't talk about Sasquatch like that.
Oh, Eric is instantly a Sasquatch fan.
I know, right?
Eric's downloading several volumes of Alpha Flight as we speak.
Never even heard of this, but if it's got a Sasquatch hero, I'm all in.
Eric's found his way into Marvel.
Well, then don't go read any of the 90s ones because you probably won't like her back then.
Oh my God, no.
God.
Just stay in the 80s, buddy.
Yeah.
Do we have anything to talk about from a certain Valiant High School?
No. Oh, my God. Oh, okay. So I didn't write anything about this week, everybody out there, but Valiant has a high school comic with all their superheroes as high school students in the same school. And it looks really terrible. So, I totally even forgot the name of it, but it's
Valiant High or something like that.
It looks. I just don't know why. And like I was saying to you, Eric, this week it feels like Valiant is not at a point where they should really be spoofing their own characters yet. I don't think it's a great idea. So, yeah. Oh man. I mean, we got the press release. I didn't run it. I just couldn't.
But there we go.
Fair enough.
Right. Well, we have one more thing.
Oh.
A Kitty Pryde movie.
Oh.
Yes. So Shadowcat, the X-Men, who is now. I think she's completely dropped her code name, so there's no more Shadowcat, but I like Shadowcat, so I used Shadowcat in the headline. Kitty Pryde is the leader of the X-Men Gold team right now in the comics, and it looks like she's going to be getting a movie, a standalone film, just her, or, you know, something like that. And we're going to bring up Brian Michael Bendis's name again. since it looks like he's going to be writing it, and Deadpool director Tim Miller looks like he might be directing. So this project is entitled 143 right now, and it's a big mystery project. And it's got the two of them on it. So I actually picked this story up from IGN, which is sourced in the article. But it 143 is a Kitty Pryde centric issue of Uncanny X-Men, Uncanny X-Men number 143, and it's a very it's a well known story that has Pryde in the X-Mansion as a rookie battling a demon, and it kind of fits in with what they're doing with New Mutants, since New Mutants is going to be more of a horror thing, the movie, I mean. So it kind of like, I could totally see it. The only thing that's weird is Bendis is totally out at Marvel, since he's going over to helm the Superman stuff. So it's a little weird. Also Disney is in the process of, I guess, finalizing their purchase of Fox, entertainment stuff. So it's a little questionable what's going to be happening with Bendis on this project. But it does look like the Kitty Pryde movie might be moving forward. This is something of a rumor, but it looks like there's a rumor with a lot of validity to it. So, I think it's probably going to happen. Maybe not with Bendis, but it looks like it's probably going to happen. And, that's it for the comic rack this week. The toy shelf, the comic rack, whatever you want to call it.
Wow. Good job, Jason. That was a lot.
Holy moly. Yeah. Nice job.
Thank you, folks.
So you're not done yet. You're gonna tell us first.
Oh,
you're
gonna go. Mother!
You're gonna go first. What you been playing?
So I actually played last night. I went back to Crash Bandicoot. I just felt like playing it again, so I'm playing that. And I am also playing Lego Marvel Super Heroes 2 on the Switch. And sporadically, WWE 2K18, also on the Switch, which I actually have to admit, I ponied up. I paid for all the characters because I really didn't feel like unlocking them, and I really only want to play with the classic characters anyway. So, but I am enjoying it, all three. So,
awesome, good to hear. How about you, Rick? What are you doing?
I am playing Homefront still.
Cool.
I got to get to that.
It's a lot of fun. I mean, I don't know yet. I've been playing it for quite a number of hours now. I'll probably get bored of it at some point, but I'm still enjoying it. So
cool. Gotcha.
Cool. Yeah. What about you, Eric? What are you playing?
Oh, playing Bayonetta 1, because I'm still playing through it before I play 2.
Y'all? Yeah.
Sorry, I had to yawn.
Well, that's different.
Yeah.
Have you played, Eric? Have you played? Have you played the Wii U version?
Bayonetta 2.
Yeah.
No.
Okay.
So this is a first for me. Once I get to it,
I'm interested to hear how different it is, if it is different at all, because it just I played a little bit of that, but. I actually got rid of it because just I, for some reason, wasn't holding my attention.
Right.
Gotcha. So.
Well, I don't know. I mean, the first Bayonetta is a lot of fun. So.
Tons of fun. I love that game.
Right, right. So I haven't gotten to the second one yet, but apparently the second one's even better. The second one got reviewed like at 10 across the board. Not across the board, but different reviews outlets did give it 10 when it came out.
Oh, cool.
So I don't know. We'll see.
Excellent.
Playing something else too, but I don't remember what it is. So, going well for me. Today's going great.
Well, couldn't be much.
Yeah, no, right?
Monster Hunter.
Ah, yes.
Oh.
What a good game. You you go out into the forest with a big sword or a big hammer or whatever, and then you kill a big monster, and then you make materials from its skin. You make you take materials from its dead body to make more weapons and armor. It's great.
That doesn't sound nice.
Well, they're mean monsters.
Okay.
They're mean.
Speaking of monsters,
are you mean for going into their habitat and causing a ruckus?
Yeah.
Maybe that's a good point.
Yeah.
A monster.
Are they threatening your village or something?
Yes, actually, some of them are.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
I mean, I guess that doesn't excuse me going back into the village and killing 10 more of the same monster to build a scarf out of.
Nope, not really.
Well, you know.
Speaking of Monster Hunter, we will be having our game of the month for January coming up this week. And Monster Hunter is one of the, finalists.
Yeah, that's a fair thing to say. So, but it's just a lot of fun. It's fun to play with friends. You get on a hunt and then you go and then you kill monsters. It's great. It's kind of like Destiny in the sense that you grind for more better equipment to do better stuff.
Cool.
So, a lot of fun. And that's it. Yeah. Well, good work, guys.
Jeez.
I got to go without yawning, too. I had like one yawn early, and it was fine. And now I can't stop. But
yeah, I noticed.
I apologize. Well, guys, this has been whatever episode number this is. I have to take a look. But thanks for listening, and we'll catch you next week. And hopefully the comic rack's not as big next week. Because I felt like the most episode was just Jason talking about comic books.
You know, there's going to be a lot of toy stuff next week, so...
Well, maybe... Yeah, I know a bit more about toys than I do about comic books, so maybe I can help out with that. But,
all right, well, that's cool.
But, all right, guys. Thank you all for listening, and we will catch you later.
Bye.
Adios.